my way to Revilla at the Delano on Monday evening, I walked by a cafe called Della's and noticed a chia pudding on its breakfast menu. That sounded intriguing. Chia is supposed to be super healthy, and combined with kneaded berries and granola, it sounded like a great breakfast. Unfortunately, the tram doesn't start running till 9, and it's only 7:30. I walked through the Luxor to the Mandalay Bay and through it to the Delano for Della's pudding. Tea is okay. I'm reading The Dispossessed. What could possibly intrude? The chia pudding tastes like yogurt. Unless it's an ingredient tzatziki sauce, I have no use for yogurt. Is this a chia seeds hell? A breakfast as bad as my hotel. I'm back at the ridiculously beautiful Aria for lunch at Julian Serrano's, hoping to feast on pinchos in San Sebastian at some point in time. Maybe Julian can give me some ideas. I've had both great stuffed red peppers and terrible tapas here before. The croquetized mushroom soup I'd had at Jose's Yaleo was kind of what I expected from Molecular Andres. Studying the menu online, I was entranced by the possibility of apricots and scallops. Always on the lookout for new ways to combine fruit with protein. My great uncle used to invent fruit, so just carrying on the family tradition. I order this tapa along with branzino, donestiara, sea bass, tapenade, tomato, patata pomodera, nora, and some of Julian's sangria. And naturally, sangria is going to work really well with the apricot dish, but with the fish? I'm thinking cava here. Seared scallop skewer, piccolo pepper, apricot, romesco. This is almost as good as the mushroom dish at Twist. This is why one goes to Vegas, or Spain, or the kitchen, or anywhere. This is why one gets out of bed, to eat things that taste as good as this. In between dishes, I converse with the young man behind the counter. He has become a fan of the new Vegas hockey team, which has vaulted unexpectedly into great success and given the whole town a boost. He tells me of getting his son into sports, though he had never been into them before. A childhood I also avoided, aside from pickup games with friends and the sports one does at school. I began to observe the avenues to strength in this assaulted community, such as I felt hanging out at a bar near the Bataclan in Paris last summer. As I'm still a bit hungry, these are tapas after all, I chance the padron peppers with orange zest. Not once was I told they were hot peppers. I cannot eat hot anything. I try and find the orange zest a splendid idea, but I have no interest in setting my tongue afire. I flee. The tea lounge back at the Mandarin is about as mellow a place as you're likely to find on the Strip, not that there's much competition. I've had exquisite teas and tea-based cocktails in its zen-flavored sea of tranquility before. Enough, fiery peppers. A glass of tranquility, please. I sink back into Le Guin. My taste buds are soon enchanted by Perbellini, $19. Inspired by our property mixologist William Perbellini, this concoction features Grey Goose vodka, elderflower liqueur, lime, pear, homemade chamomile tea syrup, which are enhanced with the crispy and floral notes of Perrier Jouet champagne and torched rosemary. I've had great drinks here before, so I order the other one on their menu, the Golden Leaf, $18, created specifically for Mandarin Oriental Las Vegas. The Golden Leaf uses Hendrick's gin, Aperol, muddled mandarin oranges, pineapple juice, fresh lime juice, and homemade simple syrup. Wow! Almost as good as the pear drink. Two in a row. Even Vesper isn't that good. M Life tells me of a new bar from Tony Abuganem at the Mandalay Bay. It opens at 3, so I go back to the Excalibur to charge my phone and then take the tram to the Mandalay and walk over to Libertine Social to see what Tony's up to these days. I had met him at the first For the Love of the Cocktail breast cancer event at the Cromwell on my last trip to Vegas. Just had his Bellagio cocktail at the Petrosian on Tuesday. Let's see what he brings to his new venture. The bartender tells me he's most famous for the Sunsplash, Grey Goose L'Orange vodka, Cointreau, orange and lemon juices, cranberry juice. So I order that and seek to take a picture of it with my phone. Where is my phone? Oh, no. I'd left it back in my hotel. I gulp the splash and zip back to the Excalibur and find my phone on the bed waiting for me. Why did you abandon me? It asks plaintively. Sorry, phone. I'm new at this phone marriage. It's too easy to sink back into the vastness of my phoneless life. I had a reservation at Picasso for 5:30, so was able to meet my friend at Prime in the adjacent space in the netherworld of the Bellagio. Prime is a wonderful space, full of sort of steampunk silver from a coca-addled brain of Pizarro after he just sacked the Incan Empire. My friend is having a more complex drink. I go for a palate-cleansing gin and tonic. It was the wrong choice. But I'm here for the companionship, not the inadequate beverage. My friend warns me that my level of food consciousness is unusual in this town, and that surprises me considering what's available to educate one's palate in Vegas. I have gotten into lengthy, by my standards, conversations with restaurant staff about food, yet it was always from the point of view of my wanting to have the best possible experience at their establishment. And isn't that what they're in business for? And then I go to Picasso. It is a beautiful restaurant. Le Cirque hit a home run with its vegetarian menu. Twist walked the pumpkin thing, then struck out twice with rabbit food and abused chicken embryo, and then hit a grand slam, winning the World Series with its mushroom dish. Picasso was menu number 3 of the flight. It had 2 Michelin stars. Its creator was Julian Serrano, whose exquisite apricot scallop wedding I just attended. This guy was good, so I order, and the food appears. I truly wish it had not. Cold ajo blanco, white almonds, grape jus, vinegar, olive oil, plancha Chinese eggplant, macadamia nuts, sun-dried tomatoes, caramelized onions and raisins, sautéed imported jumbo white asparagus, fresh morels and fennel jus, ragu of vegetables, sun-choked raviolis. There are a lot of good ideas for good dishes, but they don't actually work out. Thankfully, you're not eating them. There was so much unrealized potential here. Serrano had not mocked vegetables, as Fly Too Close to the Sun Garnier does relentlessly. I'm just not getting chefery here. The number of beverages I've consumed at this point, added to the drinks with the dinner, undoubtedly contribute to my lack of memory of just what I ate. The point is, none of it registered. I have photos of the food, but I might as well have eaten the photos. I try to avoid being nasty, but I feel insulted by what I've just eaten and its price. I leave them a note. This food could have been much better.
I'm Stuffed Prawn.
And I'm the little gimmick in his pocket, but Malmsey. And together we're...
The Grassroots Gourmet. We dined yesterday at Ye Pewter Tooth in Vicks Rub, Virginia. Billed as an authentic Revolutionary War restaurant, so I hoped you wouldn't have to bite the pullet.
Hee-hee. It's housed in the former residence of Patriot Morris Sugar, who joked just before he was hung by the Brits, I regret I have but one lump to take for my country.
The feast begins with the maitre d' trotting past your table yelling, "The hors d'oeuvres are coming! The hors d'oeuvres are coming!" Followed by a ragged-looking waiter covered in macaroni and bearing a Revereware pewter platter overflowing with an old English horse meat peppered with melon balls and shot through with muscatel.
I then ordered the Ben Franklin kebab, kite tails, French tomatoes, and Philadelphia mince skewered on a lightning rod and flash-fried in a rainstorm.
Yum. I chose the melting pot pie. Scandinavian fish heads surrounded by new Irish potatoes and pasty English goose flesh, served with no upper crust in a Native American shell ground from the flour of our former Utes.
For dessert, George Washington's favorite thin gray gruel topped with cherry pits and seedless hemp seeds.
Yes, Washington ate here. This is stuff.
And but...
The Grassroots Gourmet. Ooh, another uprising.
Not only is Le Cirque a great place to eat, they go over and beyond what you'd expect from a restaurant or any commercial establishment, even in service industry capital Vegas. They had promised I'd be able to pick up the suites for Fumio and the grandkids on Thursday. It gave me the chance to talk to the ever-helpful GM and the young lady who had chased after me to deliver sweets when I'd last dined here. It was the difference between night and day, going from Picasso to Le Cirque. Actually, Picasso is more open and full of greenery and interesting art, which intensifies your time there as well as your expectation.
Mr. Picasso Potato Head.
Mr. Picasso Potato Head. I had that with the Cubist steak once.
Uh-huh.
It was the Blue Period special.
That's right.
It was really excellent.
When I was a child, my mother disliked cooking, and my dad and I disliked what she did cook, so we cooked for ourselves or ate out all the time. But it wasn't fine dining. These were the days before the ubiquitous fast food, so it was a family restaurant, like Dupar's, where we could eat whatever didn't contain meat on the menu. Canned and frozen food played a large part in my diet. Picasso food reminded me of that. Very bad attempts to do good things with vegetables. Hearing stories of the demise of Le Cirque's origin in New York City reminded me of the fall of Rome. The city fell. The Western Roman Empire became the empires of others, but Constantinople and the Byzantine Empire lasted for another 1,000 years.
Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
So take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Istanbul, even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
You just liked it better that way.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Gone Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Constantinople, no, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
This is Side 5. Follow in your book and repeat after me as we learn 3 new words in Turkish. Towel, bath, border. May I see your passport, please?
This is a poem for Peter called 12 Suppositions. You must have been coming up from the eye of the Bosphorus. You must have been working with stones where the walls come down to the river. You must have been traveling fast over the roads hidden by ruins. You must have been talking with seasons as they rose in the east and made patterns. You must have been breaking your nails on the branches of lime trees, on the books of tables. You must have been eating sherbet and dates. You must have been shouting at the devil as he stood on the water. You must have been half dead with fever, half alive with a woman. You must have been remembered, forgotten, and sent back where you came from. You must have been alone in the camp of the enemy, a flag in your pocket, a coin in your pocket, a hand in your pocket. You must have been close to the fire, warm and dry as sand. You must have been coming up from the eye of the Bosporus with a return ticket and an empty pack of cigarettes and a keychain when she found you.
The Vegas Lesser can be the Byzantium of restaurants. May we all continue to be delighted by it. I guess I don't have the gambling gene. Not only is it utterly alien to me, I have no idea why all these people can't find anything better to do with their money.
You can't run a government with gambling because you're taking money from the people that can least afford it and giving it to the people that least need it. All I could see out of Las Vegas is this funnel of green stuff going away. And you don't know where it's going, but you don't see it cropping up in daycare centers somewhere down in Charlottesville. It's not any of it coming here. The people are driving there to shove their family's inheritance in this great sucking maw like that. You know what? You don't run into anybody that smokes grass that goes to those casinos because they realize that's laughable. You have to have blocked out part of your mind to go in there and deal with these people from Las Vegas and give them the money and figure you're going to get a good deal out of it.
A drug person can learn to cope with things like seeing their dead grandmother crawling up their leg with a knife in her teeth, but nobody should be asked to handle this trip. Bazooko's Circus is what the whole hep world would be doing Saturday night if the Nazis had won the war. This was the Sixth Reich.
Instruments, where everyone is a winner!
The slot machines have always annoyed me, mostly because those at them are usually smoking, greatly endangering my respiratory system. However, with a head full of kiwi, all those slot lights were enchanting, just like the lights outdoors.
It's a long green.
It's a great place. Their only problem is that their icon, the kiwi, is too wimpy.
Yeah.
It's just too wimpy. So
it's got a long, sharp beak, though. I could poke your eye out.
No. I thought
it was the fruit.
No.
No,
it's
see,
the
look.
Bird.
Here, look.
Here, it's the bird.
You know, Mike, it's the bird. I know how they feel.
I'm giving you the bird, Dave.
I know all the money people lose here is paying for all those pretty lights and the great food I'm swimming in. I feel more compassionate toward the gamblers as I bathe in the flashing lights. Approaching my elevator, the hotel starts playing You Get What You Give, the song I first heard in Paris last year. Made me feel like I was on the barricades with Jean-Paul Sartre and Jean Valjean. My new favorite song. Like the ads in Minority Report, they seem to be targeting me with my favorite tunes wherever I go, whoever they are. Maybe Pepper, the robot I spoke with at the Mandarin, was an ambassador from our algorithmic overlords. Thanks for the tunes! I had read that Bar Masa had closed, but there it was, next to Julian Serrano, and it still had the truffled maitake mushrooms on its menu. I regret not going there this trip. Also regret not getting over to L'Atelier for Robuchon's great langoustine fritters. A breakfast at usual breakfast joint Mon Ami Gabi would have been much more enjoyable than the supposed pudding at Della's Kitchen. I would like to go back to Zuma and try their lime crab, as well as a few more tapas from Yaleo and Julian. 4 days is my shortest trip to Vegas, but I assume it won't be my last. This was my last time to stay at the Excalibur.
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhyme, cause our quiet hunts in able. We're off from mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
If their housekeeping staff didn't notice the door to the stranger's suite was unlocked, what else didn't they notice?
Undiscovered killers who are planning things go about their preparation in a pretty mundane, routine fashion.
Between the trips home, he's seen playing video poker and chatting with employees. The video was released by MGM Resorts, which says Stephen Paddock gave no indication of what he planned to do, and his interactions with staff and overall behavior were all normal. The final image shows Paddock walking off an elevator Sunday, nearly 10 hours before the massacre. What the footage doesn't explain is why he did it. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
At Wolfgang Puck's eatery at the airport the following day, I noticed my neighbors were having a chicken Caesar wrap, so I ordered one of them, remembering my daughter Monique's unintentional Caesar salad experience from long ago.
We were at Red Robin, and when the waiter asked us what we wanted to drink, Mo ordered a Coke, and I asked for a virgin Caesar. 10 minutes later, the waiter brought Mo her Coke, but a bowl of Caesar salad for me. I told him in my politest manner I'd ordered a Caesar as in drink. This seems beyond the waiter, who then called for the manager. We explained it to him, but when the manager brought my drink, he chucked it at us, nearly spilling it on Mo and me. Mo emptied the salt shaker on the table, and in salt wrote, "We hate you," which we left as a tip.
Do you know that they have Cesar Chavez Day here in California?
Yeah, oh, I'd celebrate that, man.
I would indeed. How would you celebrate it? Striking?
Eat some lettuce, man.
Maybe how about...
Have a Caesar salad?
No. I have a documentary made about myself.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, Joan Baez and
Bob. Hey, you
Bob
know what you
Dylan,
do? You'd order a Caesar salad and then say, "I'm not going to eat it," and throw it on the floor.
That's good, man.
Right,
that's
a refusenik.
Yeah, well, you know, just make
well,
it
Well, nobody eats lettuce
point, yeah.
anymore anyway, because a lettuce and a frog shall lead them. Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah, ever since the lettuces and the frogs got together.
Just make it a political point, man. Is that the way you make a political point? You throw your salad on the floor, man?
Yeah.
This is when you upscale Beverly Hills restaurant, man.
Oh,
there's
right.
some famous
to
star
to.
In the corner,
yeah,
man. I'm going
right.
to throw my salad on the floor. That's See
it.
What you think, famous
now
star,
you get
man.
Well, yeah,
and the waiter's going, "Well, he's in the Fire Sign Theater. His wife told me."
Yeah. He slipped me $10 with his name on it. This is from Phil Proctor.
Give him the free day-old dessert.
Yeah, all right. Right in his head, man.